Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence, and we're asking you to do that which only you can do as we deal with the souls of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, and for the last time, at least for a while, we'll read the 15th chapter of the book of John and the first 14 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And that is such a simple fact that there isn't a one of us that can't understand it. We know what happens if you sever a branch from its vine. It cannot bear a thing. And Jesus said, no more can you. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. Now you notice it isn't God that does this, it's men that does this. Gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, as you who regularly attend, you know that for the past several Sundays, we have spoken of the vine and its branches, pointing out some of the vital things believers must receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. This which is true of the vine is true of you if you would bear much fruit. So just as the branch must draw from the vine all its needs to bear this much fruit, so I've pointed out in the past Sundays some of the things Christ is to his people. And as he was to David, so many things I told you years ago, and I've forgotten the exact number. I didn't write them down, and I'm sure I never exhausted them all. I went into the things that were said about David and the Lord, and I got up into 80-some things that David said God was to him. And so I find so many of God's precious people, though God is breath and life and health and strength, he's your everything. When you sit down to eat, he's the one that provided it. You may not appreciate it, you may not understand it, you may not be thankful about it, but you are up walking this morning, if you are walking, because in reality, he enables you. If you have any idea what the devil would do to you if God didn't have a fence around you, you would be shaking in your boots if you have any. But we pointed out what God was to David. And the more God put you in a test, put you in a trial, put you in a place where you can't do it, the more he can enable you to do it. I have had him enable me to do so much. You see, I have lived strictly by faith ever since I began to trust God for my life and my ministry. And I've yet to ask anyone for a nickel. I've yet asked to or try to promote my own way. I've waited on God to open doors and whatever. And well, just for this morning, I told several of my family who were with me for breakfast yesterday morning. Several of them usually gather together with me on a Saturday morning, and we eat at a certain place every Saturday morning. And I said to them, I've got to get back to the office. I said, I don't know what I'm going to preach about. Now, I knew I was going to try to close out this book of the vine and the branches this morning, but I couldn't think of a thing. I couldn't think of how to do it. I couldn't put anything together. I came and I had prayed, I had sought the Lord, I had tried to study, and everything just evaded me. And so I came to my office and I jotted down certain thoughts and things, and finally at 1:30 went home and ate a little lunch, and still I didn't know. I did not know. I could not. And so I thought about it into the night, and what about? And I felt like calling one of the brethren and saying, I can't go to the pulpit. God won't give me anything to talk about. And I got up. You might think I'm bragging if I told you when I got up. But I was down here before daylight, and I got in the office, and I said, Lord, and I had prayed most of the night and whatever, and I finally got into my office, and I sat down, and I thought, here it goes. And what you'll hear this morning flowed out of me like I was a fountain. But I have pointed out the many things Christ was to David. No wonder the Bible tells us he was the man after God's own heart. You know, if you want to please God, let him do something for you. You can't do anything for him. If he was hungry, he said, I wouldn't tell you. Don't you know that? What can you do for God? Why, if you had 50 ton of gold, where'd you get it? If you owned all the forests in the world, where'd they come from? You better begin to wake up and find out you're just a beggar on the lap of God's mercy. And one day he went to the dust and lifted you up, and one day he went to the dunghill and separated you from the rest of the dung. What? Find out who you are. That's the tragedy of the church. Most of us have come to the place we're rich and creased with goods and have need of nothing. You can't get anything from God unless you need him. Well, you think I've meddled enough already? So precious hearts, many things Christ was to David, made him the man after God's own heart, and so it must be to any of us who would bear the things of God. We must learn to draw our life with all of its needs from the Lord Jesus Christ. Without me, ye can do nothing, he said in this wonderful parable. You see, the true vine, who is now in heaven, where God says he is in a sense on deposit, and there he is to supply your every need according to God's riches in Christ Jesus. In the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 3 and 4, I thought I'd close out with this thought, how we are dead. It says, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now this thought leads us to a harvest time. As the grapevine has its harvest, so Christ, the true vine, is going to have his harvest. And will come from the branches. You see, everything he has, he's not rich because he created everything. He was rich, but he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. The thing that makes him rich is you. Paul tells us in the 1st chapter of the book of Ephesians that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know what the hope of our calling is and what God's inheritance is in the saints. If he wanted 1 billion diamonds as big as this earth, he could create them. If he wanted oceans and oceans of oil, he could speak the word. No matter what he wanted. But there is one thing that he himself can't just speak into existence, and that's you and what he can do in you. See, God could make angels that didn't fall as well as he made those that did fall. God could make human beings that couldn't sin. No. How would we know grace? How would we know mercy? How would we know forgiveness? How would we know the gentle tenderness of our Lord Jesus Christ? What would we know about his long suffering? What would we know about his gentleness? Oh, so many picture a God who stands over you with a club, and he said, I'm just waiting for you to make a mistake. I want to beat the thunder out of you. Oh, no. Paul said that I might know him. Find out who he is, and you'll find the sweetest, most tender, most forgiving, most long-suffering, most gentle, most generous. Oh, I can't tell you, how could he ever give you any more than Jesus Christ? When he gave you Jesus Christ, he gave you the fountainhead of everything. But there's going to be a harvest time. As the grapevine has its harvest, so Christ, the true vine, will have the harvest of the branches. And Jesus spoke how some believers would bear fruit. Some would do it 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And I would to God, and God would like to see you bear it 100. Don't you know that? If you don't bear fruit, that's your choice. He can enable you to bear 100. If you bear 30, that's your choice. If you bear 60, that's your choice. You make choices. God wants a people who made a choice to go with Him. God wants people who chose to go without the camp. God wants people who He wants to embrace the Word of God. Now are you clean through the Word which I speak to you? Which one of us is God saying, I'm not going to tell you what I have? There was a time when He told no one this mystery that He has chosen to show to us, but He kept them busy with that. But as I come today, I think of the sweet old Negro spiritual titled Steal Away to Jesus. And one of the phrases there goes, I ain't got long to stay here. And that's me. Not that ears determine how close we may be to death, for be it 1 year or 100 years, we need to realize that all of us are but a step from death. And as the world conditions are like a herald crying out of the coming end of the kingdom of this world and the beginning of the kingdom of Christ. And we see the breaking of that coming kingdom like the morning breaking in the east. And this present church age about to fold up its purpose and go home are saying we ain't got long to stay here. However, as I approach 93, I'm aware that by the law of averages, should Jesus tarry, most of you will have an occasion to attend my funeral. But as memory carries me back over almost a century of time, I am grateful. More than any of you may ever know, that the two words we have emphasized the past several Sundays, come and abide, have brought a bountiful harvest to my life. I think back to that night in Leavenworth, Kansas, in a little chapel. Just, I doubt if it would seat 65. Had friends that had turned their lives to God. I was at the end of my rope, not knowing what I needed, not knowing where to go or how to go. And it was at that state in my life that I was persuaded to go to that little chapel with them. And that night, I gave my heart to God. Since that time, I have seen hundreds and hundreds go a little ways or a little further or a little further and find a place like Pliable where they turned back. They fell into a despond. They got into a doubting castle. Many things could happen. And I've seen it happen. But thank God, as I stand here, and if my testimony means anything to any of you, and especially you young people out there, I'm so grateful somehow I didn't need friends. I and the woman who ultimately became my wife were the only two young people in that little place. But I didn't need young people. I needed the Word of God. I learned to come to Him. And I learned to abide in Him no matter what. And listen, don't you tell me the storms you've been in. Don't you tell me the times that old anchors creaked and you felt like walking out and going on and saying, I didn't settle for this. Don't tell me that. I know I've been pressed out of measure beyond strength in so much that I despaired of my life more than once. But I found out the reason I came to such a place was that I might learn not to trust Hill. You know, I was a pretty capable guy. I could get it done. They said, if you want to have fun, get out with Hill. He's got the secrets of a good time. I had the secrets of an everlasting lake of fire. That's what I had the secrets of. And I found peace alone in Him. I didn't find it in a young people's meeting. I never did have one. I didn't find it in bazaars and what. I found my peace in Him. I found my strength in Him. I sought His Word. I thirsted for it. I hungered for it. Oh, it became more necessary to me than my regular food. I knew what it was to go out, not work 8 hours, 10 hours. I had my beginning in the heart of the depressions. I was married with two children. Where's old sweet Nancy back there? You back there, darling? That's my oldest. Stand up, darling. I want to see if you're back there. I know she'd be there. She's been one of my most faithful. And there she was. I walked across the field. I knew farming. And I was a worker. I didn't have a coffee break. Facts of matter, we had two old warm water jug breaks, one mid-morning and one mid-afternoon. I knew what it was to walk 2.5 miles across the field, harness a team, drive them maybe as many as 2.5, 3 miles, and be in the wheat fields catching the bundles when it got to the place you could see them. Come home. Sister Hill would start dinner after I got home. I'd go get on my knees. Pray. Tired? Never knew the word. You know that? Oh, how tired you can get. I feel so sorry for you, little sweetheart. Oh, you've got it so rough. Listen. Listen. I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to be lonely. I know what it is to have no one agree with you. What? Oh, bless your heart. Listen, I wouldn't trade His fellowship and the table He provides for all the wealth and the splendor and the glory and the self and aggrandizement that you could offer, if you could offer it. Don't feel sorry for me. Well, I got to get with this here. I do have an outline. But it all makes me look to the future. And like Paul say, I know if the earthy house of this tabernacle, that is tent life, be dissolved, I have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so, precious hearts, as memory takes me back over the years of both joys and sorrows, and I realize the Holocaust that is about to engulf this world, I'm so glad I ain't got long to stay here. Memory takes me back to that night 72 years ago when Jesus united me to himself into a living vine, and I began to live. And at that day I had life like Israel. This was the beginning of time to me, and in the new birth now, through abiding in him and allowing his word to abide in me, I'm about to be united on the throne with him and fulfill that prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, I would that they would be one, even as you and I are one, I in you and you in me and they in us. God's got a family. He's about to gather them together. They're not going to be created angels, created beasts, created something else. They're going to be, as dear old Miller used to tell us, as she would sing, I'm brand new. Yes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So why should I want to stay around here? My family don't even like to hear me talk about it. They all love me. I have five of them, and oh, my, I think I've got one. I know when that great-grandson is going to be born, they're going to take him Thursday. She's laying in there on my couch. And so Charlotte and I are going to have a little boy, and we're going to call him Bubba. Yeah, I think he's the 38th great one. One of them came. Well, I won't get into that. But Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:1 said, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. He said, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. And Paul said, don't be deceived. He said, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And on top of that, he said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And to the Hebrews, Paul wrote, how shall we escape? Not if we reject, but if we neglect so great salvation. How many times, I remember a certain man that used to come here years ago, and he's in eternity now. And one of the last conversations I had with him before God took him, he said, Brother Hill, every Sunday I come to church and I get out there on the front steps and I say, next Sunday I'm going to yield. I'm going to stay. But you know, he had friends. He had things. The gentle Jesus said, What is it profited a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, a lot of people who have never studied the Word of God and don't know what it really says, they don't realize that that word soul there is the breath life. I have had an unusual life for most people. You see, I'll not too long hence, if the Lord tarry, I'll be 93. Most people cut it off before they're 70. Did you know that? I think the average life is somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 now in the United States. But at any rate, precious hearts, you must understand that you can lose that life. I sat at the table, I've told you, and Brother Hatch here, he knows Ed well, and I was sitting, I dropped by, and Earl Benner was there. He was one of the few that are left. And now just Ed and I are left of the old crowd. And I, when I see him, and I talk to him once in a while, and I always quote that poem that you've heard me quote. And if I should live to be the last leaf upon the tree in the spring, let them smile as I do now at that old forsaken bough where I cling. And I don't know, there are just two leaves on the tree, Bob. And I don't know whether God will take me. And no matter how he takes me, he's going to take me one way or another before too long. I ain't got long to stay here. And I know that, and that's a joy to me. Why? I love all you precious people. Of course I do. By now, I could be sitting out and pull. Fred, he just came in. Brother Hill, you need to go. He just came up from Arizona. You need to go down there, 70-some degrees. He's been down there a while. I don't blame him. But you see, here's the thing. Why, I've got several down there. If I wanted to, I could go down there. In fact, as a matter, I could go a lot of places where the breezes are warm. And I could go out there and get by a slow-moving stream and lay down in the shade and pull a hat down over my eyes and watch a cork. But I'm watching a cork. I'm fishing for big fish. I got a fish in there that I caught on the wall, 194 pounds. But look at that, I caught that guy right there. Stand up, Kev. Now you talk about a fish. Bless his heart. Jesus, he said to me, and I always loved to fish. And I remember I was out in a tobacco patch cutting tobacco. And the Lord was real close, and I was having a wonderful time. And I'm going to tell you, I was making them things fly. I'd cut more tobacco in half a day than most men cut in one day. I was just short enough and quick enough and fast enough and strong enough that I could keep a stalk hitting a spear and reaching for another one and so on. But at any rate, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Huh? I'm glad I caught you. You may not be glad I caught you, but one day you will be. Yeah. Think of these guys that could have caught you that were just after your money or whatever. Going to entertain you and wasn't going to tell you the truth. And, oh, they might offend some fella that had a lot of money and Like where this one fella stood back here, he thought he was something, and he wasn't anything. I'd read that. Paul told me to watch out these fellas, and I tried to tell him what the Bible clearly said, and he said, "I reckon I know," and I said, "I reckon you don't know. Don't be afraid to stand for the truth. Jesus will stand with you. Don't back away. Tell the truth." Well, Paul said, "Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. God has never mocked. I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how am I using my allotted time? How much time do you have? Brother Gies, you thought it was over this last week. Bang! A heart attack." I was walking down the eastern seashore, and I had one about 3 years ago. "What doctor did you go to?" someone said. "Why," I said, "he was with me." See, he's a very present help. You don't have to call and get a ambulance and all that. And if it's time to go, go! Huh? Am I scaring you? I'm going to have that cataract taken off that eye, and they wouldn't, because they said my heart was bad. Blood pressure bad. Why, Brother Hill, who checks you up? Jesus, every morning. And so I was thrown into a dizzy. I had to have a checkup before they would try to work on that eye. One of my daughters is in here. Doctor said, "You see, I have a grandson, cut your heart out and put another one in its place. So I think I know a little bit about the heart. I know enough about to know it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and nobody knows it." And she said to me, that specialist, she said, "Man, you could have a heart attack or a stroke any minute." And I said, "So could you. Don't you know that? Who told you you couldn't have a heart attack? Who told you you couldn't have a stroke? Who told you you couldn't fall down them steps and kill yourself? Who told you that you couldn't pick up something and get a splinter and it'd kill you before morning? Who told you the wind couldn't blow something over on you or somebody kill you coming down the street? Who told you that? They don't know what they're talking about. But the man that walks in the shadow of the Almighty," you know, you have to get close to some to get in their shadow. "And the man that walks close in the shadow, 1,000 might fall at his side and 10,000 at his right hand, but it won't come nigh thee." Huh? Did you ever see his perfection on keeping? They threw him in a furnace, heated 7 times more than it had ever been heated before. Why, they said, "Don't heat it that hot, it'll burn the furnace up." They threw him in there, and they couldn't even have smell of smoke on him. And can you imagine, it was hot enough to burn the manacles, whatever they were. It might have been ropes, it might have been skins, it might have been iron, it might have been a lot of things. But all it did, and it never as much as scorched a hair, but it did burn the bonds off. Now he can keep you. And in perfect peace he'll keep you. Don't feel sorry for me, ladies. I'm where I want to be. Ain't got long to stay here. Heaven's expecting me. And there's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus a long time ago. Why, God love you. Well, I'm going to have to finish this. As I have learned to abide, I have found victory and deliverance are accomplished facts. This life can be a life in the full fellowship of the Father's love and His holiness. The life can be a life of loving beneficence and activity. And whoever therefore abides in Him, the glorified one, bears much fruit and becomes the channel through which Jesus flows out to bless those around Him. Finally, there is one more thought in regard to this life of the glorified one, and that is our life in Him. You see, it's a life of wondrous expectation and hope. We read this is true of Christ as He sits at the right hand of God, expecting. Did you know He's sitting there expecting? Did you ever read that? He's expecting till His enemies be made His footstool, looking to that time when no man shall say, "Know ye the Lord," for all shall know Him. And when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so till He come is the watchword of every true-hearted believer. Christ shall appear. And the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. A breaking out, a shining forth of the indwelling glory that has been waiting for that day of revelation and the showing forth of the fruit of that precious life that He made possible, of that life today at this time. Is hid with Christ in God. That sounds like, you know, hid. See, the devil would like to know where it is. Did you know God could hide your nose from your face if He wanted to? Don't you know that? I have a hid life. How you feel? Do you feel safe hidden away? Oh, that song said, hidden away. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm hidden away with Him. Shall we pray? While every head is bowed, God is tugging at your heart. Oh, what is it profited, though you go out there and gain the world and lose the time of life in which you can learn to abide in Him and allow His rich, rich, unspeakable, unsearchable word to find its reality in you. You want that? If you do, raise your hand.
Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to bless now your word to the lives of this precious people, and we give you the praise forever. Amen.